TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's Raised by Wolves.
Hello, yes it is. Raised by Wolves. I'm Danny Cunningham alongside Manny Hill, and the Minnesota Timberwolves have not won since we have last talked to you. They haven't won in a long time.
It's been a while.
It's been seven straight losses after Friday night's really entertaining, I guess, loss to the Clippers. A pretty remarkable comeback in the fourth quarter there for the Wolves, but a game in which they were...
PG and Kawhi put on a show.
They certainly did. Kawhi doesn't look right, though.
He does look a little
Kawhi does not look like he's dealing with something, maybe. As explosive as he should. Paul George was really impressive. I mean, obviously, both of them, they went for 40-plus each, so both of them were really impressive, but it seems like everyone has the ability to have a big game against the Wolves these days.
It's a problem.
That's the reason why they are 0-7 in the month of December is because their defense has been terrible. Now, granted, they've played some strong offenses. I think four or five of their seven losses have been like against top 10 offenses in the NBA.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're making everybody look like a top 10 offense right now. And I think we could probably agree a pretty big problem here because their defensive rating in the month of December is 123.5. That means they're giving up 123.5 points per 100 possessions. That is worse than the NBA. It is atrocious. It is terrible. And you can see it. Like, that matches the eye test. Teams are just scoring at will. You and I were talking before we started recording this podcast that, well, the Pelicans are in town on Wednesday. The Pelicans have lost, I believe, 12 in a row right now. They play on Tuesday night. They very well could have 13 in a row. But you said that, okay, well, yeah, but they might be able to figure something out offensively against the Wolves, and it seems like everyone can right now.
Yeah, and I don't – it's tough to look at the Wolves right now and envision this getting much better. Now, it could get better just by default because it's just been so bad.
Well, they are going to win a game at some point,
right?
I promise.
But it's hard to imagine – this getting drastically better or seeing anything drastically different, because I think more than anything, you and I both said going into this season that this was going to be a team that struggled defensively because they just don't really have the horses on that end of the floor.
Yeah.
And what they're doing offensively is good. The idea of what they're doing offensively is good, but they don't have the horses on that end either to be able to keep up if they're going to give up a lot of points.
You know, I thought they would be a middle of the pack team on defense. I thought they'd be like somewhere between 15th and 20th defensively, which for a first year in a new system, fine.
You can live with that.
Yeah. I thought they would struggle more offensively than they have. I think they're 14th. I haven't looked today. I looked yesterday, but they were 14th in offensive rating for the entire season yesterday. And you know what? In this system, with Towns playing as well as he is, and Wiggins playing as well as he's played, and a lot of other guys that really don't necessarily fit what they want to do offensively, 14th is pretty good.
Yeah.
14th should be good enough to win basketball games.
And when you have a guy when you have guys that have been out with injuries too, and they've had a bunch of different lineups and things like that too.
I don't know. There is, I think, some correlation between Jake Layman being hurt and this team going on a slide. Now, that being said, it's not the be-all, end-all. They're not 0-7 in December because Jake Layman hasn't played. They're 0-7 in December because they're just not very good right now, and they face some really strong teams. But I do think that the injuries and the lack of continuity that they've been able to have and stuff like that does play into this slide a little bit, if nothing else.
Yeah, and I don't – I guess you could look ahead to – the next couple of games, and obviously you've got a Northwest trip there. You got Denver, and you're at Portland later on this week. But then you look at, okay, you got New Orleans Wednesday. Next week, you're at Golden State. The Warriors are terrible.
Well, if this losing streak does not end against New Orleans on Wednesday, then they go, what, Denver, then Portland, right?
Denver Friday, Portland Saturday.
It's tough for me to see them winning in Denver.
Right.
They never win in Portland.
Doesn't matter how bad the Blazers are,
no,
they never win there.
They just don't win in Portland. So if they don't win on Wednesday, they might not have a really good chance to win again until Golden Monday, State, the 26th or
23rd.
23rd, yeah.
And then they're at Sacramento on the 26th. Yeah. And then you got Cleveland at home on the 28th.
Which you should win, yeah. But who knows?
Yeah, I mean, and this was kind of my concern when we were talking a couple of weeks ago about how well they played on the road and, you know, how much they've struggled at home is that, okay, when they faced that sort of that losing streak, now I didn't anticipate seven losses in a row. I thought three or four in a row.
Yeah.
You know, how would they respond and would they be able to make some hay at home? And obviously with the Clippers coming to town Friday, that was not a good recipe for that. But
no, that was always going to be a tough game.
Yeah. But, you know, look, you have New Orleans at home on Wednesday. Doesn't look like Zion Williamson is going to be back to play yet.
No, he won't be.
You just got to find a way to win.
Mm-hmm.
Stop the bleeding. Right? Like, you just have to.
Once you get one, you can start to turn it around and feel better about yourself. But and it is difficult. And I asked a number of people this question in the Wolves locker room, whether it was Ryan or players or whatever. How do you balance feeling good about little things? Because, like, you can feel good about that fourth quarter against the Clippers if you're the Wolves.
Mm-hmm.
You came back and you made a game that was a blowout, a winnable game in the fourth quarter. You can feel good about that, but you can't feel good about the game as a whole. Like, there should be little things that they can feel good about, but I don't know how to balance feeling good about some things versus feeling poor overall, which they should and they do.
Yeah, and I don't... Aside from the fourth quarter, what could you take away from Friday's game?
That they're not good defensively. The defensive scheme they run, where they're just essentially running the drop scheme with Cat, is primed to just get torched by guys like Kawhi and Paul George because they can just be mid-range assassins. And that's what those are the types of shots that the Wolves want the opposition to take. But like those two guys started off 8 of 10 from the field.
Yeah.
Only three Clippers scored in the first quarter.
It doesn't help you when the guys are good at hitting those mid-range shots.
And I mean, at one point in that game, it was tied 66-66, the Wolves against Paul George and Kawhi Leonard combined. Like, those two had 66 at the same time the Wolves as a team had 66. That's what happens.
That's amazing.
It was pretty incredible.
Yeah. I mean, and the Clippers are just so good. I mean, I think that's kind of where, if you're a fan of the Wolves right now, those games can be very frustrating because if you're a fan of the Wolves, you want that team, you want the Wolves to be eventually on the level of a team like the Los Angeles Clippers or the Lakers or something like that.
Of course, and a true contender.
And it's just frustrating because the Wolves are just nowhere near that yet. And you would think eventually they can get to that level, but they're going to have to make all the right moves down, you know, in the future. And right now, I think it's frustrating to watch games like that when you can watch a Paul George and a Kawhi Leonard basically be a two-man show.
Yeah.
For the entire night.
Well, the difference there is that those guys are wings, and the Wolves don't have an elite wing, and I don't know what the path to getting one is at this point. Like, I do have my questions about just how good can a team be with Karl-Anthony Towns as its best player.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know what type of – and this isn't a good or a bad thing. It's an observation that it's a question I still have I don't know what type of leader Towns is on a good team. I don't know how far that team can go. I genuinely have no idea what that looks like. But in today's NBA, it is difficult to be a big man and be the best player on your team especially when you are not great defensively. I think he was in ESPN's Real Plus Minus is what it is. I think it's probably the best way of determining defense, at least for the time being. And I know it's early, but he was 50th out of 53 centers on the defensive end. And he looked a lot better earlier in the season defensively than he has lately. And that's a big reason as to why I think they've struggled.
And when you look at, to your point, when you look at past champions in the NBA or even just past contenders, all of the best players on those teams have been wing players.
Oh, yeah.
Or guards. You know, LeBron James, obviously, greatest player of all time. You got Kawhi Leonard last year. Kevin Durant. I mean,
have to go all the way back to Dirk to find a big man that was the best player in a title team.
Yeah. And honestly, when I've thought about, okay, can the Wolves get to Can they get to a level of being a team that contends for a championship? That Dallas team is the one that comes to my mind. Like, it's probably going to have to be, if Cat's going to be the best guy, it's going to have to be a situation similar to that.
Yeah.
Where you just, it's a combination of a team that's well-coached, as the Mavericks were with Rick Carlisle then, a lot of defensive-minded players that can make plays for you offensively.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be kind of a perfect storm with the matchup that you got. The Mavericks got a favorable matchup that year because the Miami Heat were not.
They hadn't
figured it out how to win a championship yet together with that first big three. So it's going to have to. I think if the Wolves are ever going to be contenders, it's going to have to be something like that. And they're going to have to be given that sort of a window. The Mavericks had the one sort of that window for that one year with that group.
That's all it was, and they took advantage of it.
And that's what it's going to have to be for the Wolves, I think, if this is going to work out with Cat being the number one guy.
And then the other thing that happened this weekend is the trade window opened, Manny. December 15th is come and gone. We're recording this on December 16th. I don't know when you're listening to this. But players can now be traded again for the most part, which is exciting news. But I don't know how exciting this trade season is going to be. And there are a couple of different reasons why that have been said by a number of different people, but the Wolves are in an interesting spot because they actually do have a less than favorable contract that not many teams have anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they still have the Gorgie Jang contract that's less than favorable, extends past this year, but not a ton of teams have those types of deals anymore. Executives have gotten better since the summer of sins, which we're going to call the summer of 2016. That is the summer of contract sins. And the Wolves still have one left over from that era, I guess we'll call it. But because no one really has cap space, I think Atlanta is the only team that has cap space right now. I don't know how much movement there's going to be because there just aren't those bad contracts to move. Teams now are more than ever want to hang on to their own draft picks. They don't want to end up looking like the Brooklyn Nets did years and years ago. So I don't know what we're going to see this trade deadline.
It's probably going to come down to if somebody significant gets hurt, right? Like if you take a guy like a Jeff Teague, for example, he's obviously a name that has popped up because he has an expiring deal.
Yeah.
If the only real scenario I could think of is if somebody's point guard gets hurt. But even then, it's like that team would also have to have the ability to match Jeff's contract to send that money back. And
that's where it becomes part of an issue, is there are not many one-for-one guys that you can match contracts with Jeff Teague. And then furthermore, what's the draft compensation going to be? How's that all going to work out?
Yeah,
I am curious, as we sit here on December 16th, what this roster in Minnesota looks like on February 8th, the day after the trade deadline, what it looks like that day. I'm very curious to see if Jeff Teague is still here. Is Robert Covington still here? Mm-hmm. Because if you've realized that this year you are not going to be competitive this year, and I don't think that, I mean, they never were going to be like a title contender.
Right.
And I do think that making the playoffs still matters to them, but I don't know how attainable that is. Is Robert Covington worth cashing in now for other pieces, for draft compensation, whatever you could get for him? Because if he's made available, he's going to be one of the most desired guys on the market, if not the most, because there are not a ton of guys in the NBA that can defend at the level he can defend it and shoot at the level he can shoot at. Those guys they are not a dime a dozen.
And added to that, the fact that he has a very, very, very reasonable and friendly contract, too.
Yeah.
I think that adds a ton of value to him, too, as well. And yeah, I mean, and that's where if you're Gerson Rosas, you have to really sort of evaluate, I think, what you see over the next month, 2 months until the trade deadline, and you have to really decide, okay, can we envision Robert Covington being a part of this team long term, being a big piece in what we're trying to do? And if he doesn't, I think now is probably the best. Now would be the best time to try and cash that in because
I think it
feels
like
his value would never be higher.
His value won't be higher. You're right, especially because he's not an expiring contract.
Mm-hmm.
He turned 29 on Saturday. does he fit the timeline here? Because that's another thing. That's another buzzword we've heard a lot is the timeline. Like, the Wolves were not interested in Russell Westbrook when he was made available, or Chris Paul.
Timeline, in part
because those guys don't match up with Karl-Anthony Towns' timeline. They were interested in D'Angelo Russell, very interested in D'Angelo Russell, in part because he and Karl Towns came into the league the same year. They are on the same timeline.
Yeah.
That matters to them, and it should matter to them. But you want, when you hit that area of competitiveness, that window, you want everyone to be on the same timeline. And I'm not sure Robert Covington necessarily matches that.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate because he is, I mean, he's a good player. He's a good teammate.
Oh, he's fantastic.
And it's tough because you want to envision him being a part of the long-term success here if that happens. But like you said, I mean, the timeline with him being where he's at in his career, 29 years old, by the time this team does get good and get to a point where they are contending and getting to the playoffs every year, where's Robert Covington going to be at?
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, how old is he going to be? Where is he going to be at as far as the contract is? You know what I mean? If the Wolves are 3 years away from being a significant playoff contender, that doesn't fit. It doesn't fit the timeline because Robert Covington by then will be, what, 32, 33 years old?
Mm-hmm.
The contract will, I think, how many years is left on his contract?
Two.
I mean, it's tough because he's such a good player and such a good teammate that you would hate, if you're the Wolves, I would imagine, hate to lose a guy like that.
No, but like you mentioned, his value is not going to be higher.
Yeah. And now might be the time to cash in. So that'll be something to watch.
I am curious what they could get for him. I'm very – so his contract goes through 2022. So he's got 2 years left after this one. And now might be the time, truly, because his value is sky high.
Yep.
This is an interesting trade market.
Prime of his career. It's probably the best he'll ever be.
It might make some sense to move on, to see what you can get. Now, I don't know what you're going to be able to get. That's the question, that the juice has to be worth the squeeze, obviously. If you're not getting what you feel is the maximum return for Robert Covington, you hang on to him. It's no big deal. Because he's a helpful piece still right now. But I don't know what a legitimate return would look like.
What would you, if you're Gerson Rosas and you're shopping him, what would you ask for? Realistically ask for? So, like, let's say, and I guess, you know, the team probably, that you're talking
it
with.
It depends who you're talking to.
Okay, so let's say the Houston Rockets call, and they inquire about Robert Covington. Do the Rockets even have enough?
They could probably, I would have to look at their draft capital, because I don't know exactly what's going to OKC in terms of pick swaps and all that stuff from the Chris Paul Russell Westbrook deal.
Right.
I don't exactly know, but they don't have a young player that they're willing to part with, I would guess, that I would be interested in necessarily. Because, I mean, what younger players do they have? It's not like you'd want to trade for Daniel House.
Right. Yeah, I'm just trying to think.
Is there one that, because Houston is the team that pops up all the time, as they are very interested in Robert Covington. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that they could get it done without getting a third team involved.
Yeah, that's probably what it would take. I'm just looking at teams that are good and would be in the playoffs that I would think would be looking for Robert Covington, or at least a player like that. Denver?
Denver could make some sense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that they would do it, but Denver could make some sense. They have, because, but also it feels like they maybe have too many cooks in the kitchen as is.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe, I mean, Malik Beasley is going to be a restricted free agent. He's someone that theoretically could be available. The money doesn't match up. You have to figure out something else money-wise.
Yeah.
And they're not trading Michael Porter Jr. I mean, if you could get Michael Porter Jr., I would absolutely do that. But they're not dealing Michael Porter Jr. for Robert Covington. I would be stunned if they were. I don't know how to make the money match up there. That's the problem.
Yeah.
But if you – Denver for Malik Beasley in a pick and whatever, but they don't have anything to get the money right.
Utah?
Utah's another one. They don't have contracts. That becomes the biggest issue here.
Yeah.
Is there are not teams that have the requisite contracts to make it happen, because who is Utah going to trade back to match that money? Joe Ingles' contract would match, but you know what? They're not trading Joe Ingles.
Why would they?
Dante Exum is the contract that would match coming back essentially at $9.6
million. Yeah.
But Dante Exum doesn't move the needle.
Does nothing for me.
And Dante Exum in a pick is not enough of a return. And furthermore, their picks, they're not out of picks that they can trade, but it's a messy situation because of some of the trades that they've made. Like the Mike Conley trade has complicated what they can trade.
Trying to look at some teams out east.
It becomes a very tough question.
Yeah. Cuz it would make sense for the Wolves to move him if they can, if they feel like it's time and they feel like they're not going to be able to make the playoffs. It makes sense, but then you'd have to find, and I think it speaks to your original point about, you know, how many teams are really going to be super active in the trade market.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost feel like it would just come down to if somebody significant gets hurt. Because then somebody gets hurt on a contending team, and that team is desperate enough to try and somewhat replace that player if that guy's going to be out for a long time. That's the only thing I can think of. Otherwise, yeah, I mean, it could be a dry puzzle. Market.
It's a very tough puzzle to figure out.
Yeah, so I don't know. It'll be I think there will be a lot to watch with this team, though, over the next couple months leading up to the deadline, though, because I think Gerson Rosas is always evaluating, but I think these next couple months until, when's the trade deadline, February 20?
No, I think it's the 6th or 7th. This year?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They moved it up before the All-Star break now.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot that. Yeah, so you're looking at the next month and a half or so.
February 6th is the deadline.
Of really evaluating this roster and making a decision of, okay, can we make the playoffs? Okay, then maybe we'll keep some of these key guys. But if we can't, we got to try and make something happen. So I'm
very curious at what point they would decide, okay, we don't think this is a playoff team. Because they're not there right now, and I understand why they're not there right now. I personally am there right now, but the organization isn't, and I totally understand that. They should believe longer than I believe, and I've been skeptical from day one of what this year could be. So I totally get that, but I'm curious what it would take for them to say, okay, we are still building for the future here. This has been a nice ground zero for this foundation, but we're not a playoff team this year. Maybe next year we are, but right now we're not, and that's okay. I wonder what it takes for them to get to that point.
Yeah, and I wonder if it's has more to do with, are they setting up like a specific point in like January, let's say, to say, okay, let's evaluate, or are they just going by like feel? Like if they look at something 2 weeks from now, if they look at like the next 2 weeks and they make that decision, you know, I mean, it could be then too. I don't know. I'd be curious to see. I'm with you, though. I'd be curious to see, like, when they decide to sort of, like, ultimately make that decision, because it's kind of a pivot point when you think about where the franchise is right now.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. I'm curious who the biggest name on the market that gets moved will be, because I don't know if Cleveland's going to find a suitor for Kevin Love.
Yeah. He's got, 3 years left on that?
3 years and $90 million Woo! Left. Yeah.
I like Kevin Love, but woo boy.
Kevin Love is not what he once was.
No.
I'm curious if San Antonio wants to move on from DeMar DeRozan.
That could be interesting.
I'm curious what Toronto is going to do. I think Toronto can't sell, but moving on from Lowry would make some sense.
Did he sign an extension?
Yeah, but he's still trade eligible.
Sure.
They tacked on 1 year.
They just added a year.
Essentially to make him more tradable.
That makes sense.
I think Miami's an interesting team to watch because I do think that they're a player away.
As far as like being buyers, you think?
Yeah.
That could be an interesting spot for Covington.
It could be. I don't know that they want another wing there.
Mm-hmm. Tyler Hero's been really
good. Tyler Hero's really good. Jimmy Butler's been really good for him.
Jimmy's got everything he wants out there, man. It's fantastic. Oh, yeah. I love it. It's hilarious. Yeah. Kendrick Nunn's been really good for them. Yeah, you're probably right. They probably wouldn't be looking for.
But they do have some tradable picks. They could trade.
Yeah.
Or actually, well, they wouldn't be. Actually, no, never mind. Because they had to trade a pick to open up a spot for Jimmy. They had to trade a one.
Oh, yeah.
They gave the Clippers a one to take Mo Harkless in a sign and trade.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting. It's gonna be. I think more than anything, I just want to see this team just win a game, because this is the last couple of weeks have just been not good and quite frankly not really enjoyable to watch.
Yeah,
and I'm okay with this team losing games, but I want them to look better losing games. If they're going to lose games, I want them to look better doing it. They've got to get the way they've been playing defense the last few weeks is just it's been really, really tough to watch, to be totally honest.
It's been bad. There's no question about that. What's been the now we're like a quarter of the way through the season. Mm-hmm. I put up a report card today. What's been the most disappointing thing for you?
Jeff Teague's been disappointing. And I don't want to rag on him because, you know, he was coming off a pretty significant injury last year.
Sure.
But I was hoping going into this season that he would play well enough, because I kind of figured he was not going to be in the long-term plans. I think a lot of people knew that going in.
Yeah, well, he certainly is not.
But I was hoping he would play a little bit better than what he has. If anything, to try and boost some trade value for him. Now, he'll have some trade value because he's an expiring deal. But I would hope I hope that he would play a little bit better just for the sake of the team so that they might be able to get a little bit more for him. He's been better
during this losing streak.
Yeah.
But it kind of feels a little bit like Derrick Rose felt at times last year where, okay, he's really good, but how much is he actually helping team success?
Yeah.
That's the question I've had a little bit lately with Jeff.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is just, I mean, injuries are inevitable, but, like, I want to see Jake Layman play.
Sure.
I want to see him play. And the fact that he hasn't, and it's not his fault. He's not trying to get injured, obviously. But I think that part of it's just been a disappointment because I wanted to see how they were really going to implement him into this. Because he, with the contract that they gave him, he figures to be a guy they are looking to see can be a long-term part of this puzzle, and we just really haven't seen a lot of it yet. And when you're coming off an injury like that too, when he does get back, there's going to be sort of that period of, okay, he needs to get his legs under him again, just sort of readjust himself, and that's going to take time too. And I'm just really like anxious to see him, to see what they're really going to get out of him. So that's been disappointing too.
I've been disappointed in Jarrett Culver.
Yeah,
he hasn't been bad. Although on Friday night he was. Friday night was a really tough night for him.
Yeah.
But he's just been very underwhelming. I think that's the best way to put it, where he hasn't ever looked like the number six pick in the draft. Like, he has looked like someone that's just kind of there and doesn't have too much of an impact, good or bad, on the game. And I would have liked to see more from him so far. And listen, I'm not saying that he's a bad basketball player, that he won't be good, because I still do think that there's reason to be optimistic about him, but I don't know when that's going to be. I think it will happen. I think he's still going to be good, but I've not been impressed with him thus far.
And really, I haven't been impressed with really the entire lottery.
Yeah, the lottery for the most part's been bad. John Morant's been really good.
Yeah, Ja's been pretty good. We haven't seen Zion yet.
So Tyler Hero's been good.
Yeah.
But
it's not been good.
No, I mean, the pick in front of Culver, Darius Garland in Cleveland, he has been bad. R.J. Barrett has not been anything to write home about.
Kobe White not doing very well.
Kobe White's not been all that good. It's been a tough lottery. Rui Hachimura has been probably the third best player in the lottery so far.
Mm. Cam Reddish, nothing.
Cam Reddish, nope. DeAndre Hunter, underwhelming as well.
Yeah, that one that one's kind of surprising.
Well, he was
too.
Supposed to be the safe pick that could just play defense and shoot, and he hasn't been. PJ yeah. Washington's been good, although he just broke his finger, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be out for a while. Jackson Hayes is okay.
Saw a little bit of Cam Johnson when the Suns played the Wolves on Monday.
He can shoot, but
I always thought that was kind of a curious pick anyway.
Romeo Langford's played 10 seconds, I think. Like, literally 10 seconds. So, I don't...
Yeah.
The lottery's not been good at all.
Very, very underwhelming.
Yes, very underwhelming. Anything else from you?
I'm good. Well, win a game, Wolves.
Maybe on Wednesday. Maybe on Wednesday they'll win a game, and we will be talking later this week. So maybe we'll see if we're talking about a Wolves win at some point.
They have to win one more.
At some point.
They will.
Find Manny on Twitter at MannyHill84. You can find me on Twitter at RealDCunningham. You can listen to the podcast on the Score North mobile app. That's free, available for Apple and Android devices. Or you can find us on Spotify, Google Play, Apple Music, wherever you listen to your stuff, we're there. So check us out, and we will talk to you next time.